Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Thanks for listening today. Our guest is Madhura Meskaski, co-founder and vice president of product at Platform 9. Madhura, thanks for joining us.
Fantastic, Jim. Thank you for having me here. I'm very excited to be as part of this podcast.
I'm looking forward to this. So let's start today's discussion with a little bit of background. Let's begin a little bit with you, and then you can introduce the scope of Platform 9.
All right. Sounds great. So I'm Madhura Meskaski, Jim, as you said, co-founder, chief product officer at Platform 9. I spent almost a decade, a little less, prior to Platform 9, about 8 years or so at VMware. Really grew there to be one of the architects as part of multiple VMware products that were flagship products for enterprises, right? VMware vSphere DRS, VMware vCloud Director, et cetera. And myself and my co-founders had a pretty similar career. We all grew at VMware, and a lot of our experience working with large-scale enterprises is what helped us start Platform 9, and it's really helping us today, where we feel like we're at really a momentous opportunity for the company. We're at a very interesting transition point, I would say, in the industry with the Broadcom acquisition of VMware. But a lot of that context helps us build what we've built with Platform 9 today.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about today. You've made a splash with new updates to your product lineup. We want to share how you focused on your solutions here in 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, it's been just an absolutely fantastic time for us here at Platform 9. As you mentioned, a quarter ago, we announced a completely new re-architecture and update to our virtualization solution, which is called Private Cloud Director. So that was a big announcement that we did. And that's really been in response to what's been happening in the industry with Broadcom acquiring VMware. There's been a massive exodus of disgruntled customers whose bills just got exploded. 10x, 20x, et cetera. We've heard some really crazy numbers. So there's been just an absolute overhaul in the industry, right? And what we are finding is we are the best alternative. We're the best private cloud alternative when it comes to those VMware customers looking for an alternate home in a product that still gives them all of the enterprise features that they've really come to know and love, but it also makes that transition experience extremely easy and smooth. So that's really what's front and center for us in 2025. We see this as a massive opportunity, and we think we are best set up to handle it.
Great. So virtualization clearly well established, and people want to continue to get the benefits of it. But what does your solution deliver in terms of capabilities for customers as they deal with the challenges of data center modernization, right? Putting a new set of software on a bunch of old hardware is probably not the best path, right?
Absolutely. So I think on one end, there's this timely opportunity of folks looking to really transition away from VMware. But on the other end, like you said, the general trend has been of data center modernization. And if you think about it, with the inclusion of GPUs into the mix, things have gotten interesting and complicated a bit, right? Because now, as you look at your data center modernization exercise, you need to, on one end, make sure that you're going to provide a private cloud interface, which is similar to what a public cloud would offer, would really simplify your end users, your developers' day-to-day operations, potentially give them a self-service for performing their day-to-day tasks, could be deploying VMs, deploying containers. That's on one end. But then you have this whole slew of new applications and users you need to now cater to in the form of data scientists or just regular users that also now want to leverage your GPUs or want to leverage GPUs and CPUs together for some of the complex workloads. So you need to be able to cater to that as well. And that GPU infrastructure may come from your data center. It may come from a co-located or an MSP-hosted data center because that happens to give you the best price economics. So your software architecture for that data center really needs to be flexible to incorporate the infrastructure that may come from any of these sources, but at the same time provide still that public cloud-like seamless experience and interface so that your end users can continue to be very productive and abstracted away from the infrastructure complexities. A lot of that has really gone into also what we've been building in our private cloud product experience for years.
Excellent. So clearly migrating off of a legacy platform that's no longer meeting business needs makes a lot of sense. Clearly a strong value proposition here. But beyond that, what longer term benefits do you see that Platform 9 can unlock for customers as they evolve that infrastructure? You've talked about clouds and GPUs. Can you shed some light on some of the value your solutions offer on top of just basic infrastructure management?
Yeah, absolutely. So one is, if we start with the core building block, we support virtualization as well as Kubernetes as the two pillars of our product, because you may or may not be ready for cloud native today, but your internal development teams have already started migrating a large portion of your applications. So you might still have a large amount of pet VMs. Tomorrow, at least some of them are going to want to transition them to containers and Kubernetes. So having virtualized clusters and Kubernetes clusters as two pillars of the platform is a key for us. And then that enables you to choose the right infrastructure destination of your choice, the right form factor for your applications. But then there is a layer of PaaS services that we provide, right? This is something that increasingly users come to rely on when they use public cloud. And so finding a database as a service or an object store, which for your training or inferencing applications, having a bucket in an object store is a very key requirement, right? So having that built and provided out of the platform where you can just access that API and put your data there, or having a number of infrastructure components delivered as a service, right? Firewall as a service, VPN as a service, just satisfies some of those core requirements of the users. So that's one. And then talking about building the private cloud of the future, again, getting into that GPU focus and GPU and CPU. What we really believe, Jim, is with the inclusion of GPUs as part of the mix when it comes to running applications, et cetera, that's really leveled the field for public clouds versus private clouds. For the longest time, private clouds have been hyped up as this best destination to run your workloads. Yes, they may be expensive, but they're the most agile, and that's where you really need to be going. Throw GPUs in the mix and the costs are just so exorbitantly high, you can't afford but to spend more than half of your budget just burning on those workloads. And so you have no choice but to find the right destination. It may be public cloud, but it may be an MSP who's giving you the best rates on the H200s that you need, right? So that's really going to level the playing field. And that's where our private cloud-like technology is really going to be critical. So what we're focusing on there is, how do you get the best oversubscription out of your GPUs? How do you get the best multi-tenant usage of the GPUs, deriving the most value out of this very expensive infrastructure?
Yeah, I can see how that makes a nice kind of on-ramp or launching point into all those other open solutions that you're going to need to adapt in today's environment. So this is interesting, but it's a little abstract. So let me challenge you a little bit. Platform 9 recently partnered with a Fortune 150 company to migrate its private cloud using the new Private Cloud Director technology. That in the discussion you've shared so far has been fleet level capability, right? We're not talking onesie, twosie, hey, live migration thing. We're talking about fleet level capabilities. Can you tell me a little bit more? I know you probably can't name names, but tell us a little about the use case and how you're working with the customer to pull off that kind of mass migration.
Yeah, like you said, this Fortune 150 company, we've been very fortunate to partner with them. Their biggest challenge was, and we kind of see this as a trend with VMware customers, they have this fleet of 40,000 plus VMs. Almost every single one of those is a pet VM, meaning it's not like containers where you can just shut them down from your first platform and restart them on the other one. Downtime is unacceptable. And so the tool that we've built specifically to cater to these needs is a tool called vJailbreak. It's an open source tool contributed to by Platform 9, but anyone can use it to migrate from VMware to any OpenStack compatible environment, because we expose OpenStack APIs in Private Cloud Director. But what that tool really does, it gives you a completely automated end-to-end experience with a full polished UI that will enable you to take your vSphere environment, in their case, for example, 40,000 VMs, but really subdivide that problem into logical chunks through few hundreds of VMs at a time, migrate them over in parallel using API, CLI, et cetera, and migrate them in such a way that as those VMs land in Private Cloud Director, not a single attribute about those VMs has changed. They retain their IP address, they retain all of their networking configuration, they continue to talk to any other applications or services, API endpoints they were talking to previously. So that's really what we mean by completely seamless migration experience. And we kind of take your vSphere cluster one node at a time, bring it up in a Platform 9 Private Cloud Director cluster. So It's when we demonstrate a migration of that caliber to our customers or prospects that really helps seal the deal, really helps them visualize how this migration is going to be for them. And Jim, I don't know if you've been following, but there have been a lot of articles out there that have been talking about just the complexity of this migration exercise itself and how it can prolong 6 to 9 months to a year plus and cost hundreds or thousands per virtual machine. And when we look at those numbers, I start laughing when I look at some of those numbers because we support this migration actively for these large, well-known brands at a tenth of that cost and in weeks or at the most months.
Wow, that's the type of change, economic and time to market change, that really forces customers to look at real alternatives, right? Because inertia is always so hard. You keep doing what you're doing, but at some point, that's a pretty sweet deal. So you mentioned here that, yes, the shift from VMs to containers here, but AI and ML workloads are obviously the hot button and people try to find ways to accommodate them and integrate them into their environment here. How does Platform 9 look at that type of infrastructure? Is it any different from a management standpoint?
Yeah, it's different in that now you have had another sort of important variable added to the mix, right? Previously, infrastructure management was a lot simpler. You just had to worry about CPU and what is your core to memory ratio, and do you have the right storage and networking bandwidth, et cetera, to handle your workload. Now you add GPUs to that mix, and all of a sudden you have to worry about the GPU to CPU core ratio, and is the memory shared across the two processing components, and what are the bottlenecks of your MIG or vGPU infrastructure? And so I think that makes infrastructure management even more interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's a problem that we love to tackle. It also makes getting the best resource utilization out of your underlying resources an interesting challenge. And we think going to continue to be top of the mind for enterprises to get the best value of this very expensive GPU infrastructure. So optimized consumption of GPUs is going to be a continued important aspect for us. There's a lot of innovative ways in which you can slice and dice GPUs. Some of those have not even been productized through things like Kubernetes, DRA, API, and et cetera today. That stuff we've been focusing on a lot, and we're going to continue to focus on it because we're seeing demand for it both from existing customers, like this large Fortune 500 or 150s that we've signed. There are teams within these companies that are reaching out to us saying, hey, a large portion of this infrastructure is going to be GPU or a non-trivial. What level of capabilities do you have? So on one end, we're making sure that we give you that best Kubernetes and virtualized experience that's fully integrated with GPU. So you can provision containers or VMs using a vGPU or a MIG GPU. That's one. The second part is we're also looking to partner with and working on partnerships with MSPs. It's another aspect I talked about because MSPs are a great way to get some very affordable GPU infrastructure. And if you think of our software, we provide Private Cloud Director as a self-hosted environment, but we also provide Private Cloud Director as a service. So for the MSPs, it becomes a really good combination. Utilize our software on top of their hardware and provide Kubernetes as a service, for example. So that's another aspect where we're looking to partner with. And then the third part is how do the data scientists and end users use or consume the infrastructure best, right? So that's not just about making VMs or containers available, but having the right sort of job or batch job orchestration engines and components. And there's many that are out there in open source, and there's few that we are collaborating with so that you really provide that experience where your data scientists really come in and submit batch jobs and the underlying system really takes care of which cluster it should go on and how do I get the best utilization and give you the results in time.
Excellent. So I think you're being a bit modest on the, oh, it's simple today with just CPUs because let's face it, customers operate in complex, massively heterogeneous environments. How does a company like Platform 9 ensure compatibility with legacy systems? I mean, it could be networks and storage. Or for example, when you're migrating from older server technology to perhaps new, brand new, shiny, high-performance EPYC-based servers.
Absolutely. You know, I think EPYC from AMD is probably a fantastic example of modern server technology, especially in high-performance computing, et cetera, very valuable for customers. But for us, going back to your question, one of the things, even when we left VMware and we created Platform 9, one of the most important things for us was to retain some of the key attributes that made VMware really popular, right? So if you think about it, VMware was always neutral to every single storage and networking and operating system platform that's out there. They never tried to push their own storage or their own operating system, but they invested a lot of effort in integrating with every single solution that's out there. And we really embraced that model since beginning. So come to Private Cloud Director of 2025 today, we have probably one of the broadest integrations with every single storage array or storage platform that's out there. To give you an example, one of our customers that we just recently closed said we have to work with Tintree Storage. Tintree, at least today, is not as popular as maybe some of the other storage alternatives that's out there, but we have complete integration with Tintree Storage. And it's really that broad set of integrations, which we've built over time, are really proving out to be very valuable. And it's not just storage. For example, you have your ServiceNow ticketing systems, and you have your logging and monitoring, and you must get your F5 load balancers deployed. And we know and have worked with all of these enterprise tools.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's not just the technologies, you know, the piece of hardware laying there. It's the processes and procedures and skills that people have developed over time. No one wants to just walk away from that stuff.
Exactly. And because it also doesn't make business sense. I mean, a replacement should only be done when there is critical reasons and ROI that demonstrate it, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The whole concept of one step back to take two forward, it's really not possible, right? You want to just keep moving forward. So tell us a little bit, where can listeners learn more about Platform 9 and its offerings?
Yeah, absolutely. So best way is to go to platform9.com. You will find all the information about Private Cloud Director. For those technical users, go to our documentation site. We have very detailed documentation that'll teach you about various aspects of Private Cloud Director, and contact us for a demo, and our teams would be happy to deep dive and give you a better view into the product.
Fantastic. We'll put some links into the social promo. Is the vJailbreak capability found there too?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So vJailbreak, there's a link on there. Thanks for reminding me of that. But you can also find it on GitHub, and we can provide links, Jim, through you as well. But vJailbreak you will find on GitHub.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. This has been a great discussion, Medora. Really appreciate you sharing your insights with us.
Fantastic. And likewise, thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
And thanks to our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.